The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We are Living by the Word Ministries, a nonprofit organization dedicated to one cause. That cause is the truth given in the Holy Bible, which we believe is the inerrant and infallible Word of God, conferred to man to live by. We let the Word of God be the final authority as to what is or is not true. We strongly feel that if we do not expose false doctrine, we only encourage it. This ministry is designed to challenge you from an apologetic point of view. 1 Peter 3:15 instructs us to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. This is Michael Tinsley. Please stay tuned while we arm you, the believer, to keep living by the Word. It's the noble thing to do.
Yes, good evening, everyone. It is indeed the noble thing to do to keep living by the Word. Welcome, everyone, to the Bible Information Brokers. Bible Information Brokers is a presentation of the Living by the Word Ministries. And let me say right off the bat, even though it's only like 2 hours left, I want to wish all the mothers out there happy Mother's Day, what's left of it. I hope and pray that everyone has had a wonderful Mother's Day. All the mothers out there, we love you, and I hope they've all shown you that love. My name is Eric Stanton. I am here in my little booth with our engineer extraordinaire, Ozzy. Ozzy's making sure everything's running good. In just a minute, I'll be introducing you to the other members of the team. But first, let me give you the number to start calling in with your open and honest Bible questions. And that number is 888-995-5552. Once again, 888-995-5552. And if it makes it easier for you to remember, 888-995-KKLA. And now let me introduce one of the members, our team members, Mr. Daryl Easy D. Fulton. Daryl, what's going on tonight?
Hey, well, thy true name today is Daryl Easy D. Mama Grace's baby boy. Very. I'll do Big Daddy at the end, but this is Mother's Day. Mama Grace, who's no longer with us. Both my parents passed away in 2015. Just want to, you know, as I was thinking about her all day long today, it's just a plethora of mixed emotions, but mostly very pleasant, very, very pleasant for me. But I recognize that it may not necessarily be pleasant for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, too, my mom passed away in 2019. So it's kind of bittersweet for me as well.
Indeed, indeed. Well, brother, what I'll do is I'm going to bring on the professor right now, and then we can pray, and then we'll get on with the broadcast. So without further ado, I will bring in our resident professor, PCH. I'll affectionately continue to call him until the Lord brings me home. Professor Craig Hawkins, PCH, how you doing, brother? Welcome to Telephonic.
Daryl, yes, good evening, Daryl and Eric.
Good evening to you.
Good evening, Craig.
Yeah, brother. Craig, you know, look, we all of our mothers are passed. I believe I'm trying to remember the year that your mom had passed and Brian's mom had passed before he passed. You want to do a little shout out to mom before I get into a prayer?
Well, thank you. Yeah, it was kind of funny. I mean, in one sense, my mom's been gone for 8 years. She died at 84. She would have been 92. Mm. Dad actually is still alive. He's 95. It was part of me. The funny part I was talking about was back in my mind, I keep thinking like I'm forgetting something. In other words, like, oh, I need to call my mom. Of course. she's in heaven. So,
indeed.
Yeah. But it's just great memories. I have wonderful memories of my mom, and she's just a great lady. And I do look forward to seeing her again in heaven, definitely.
And that's our blessed hope, man. That's we're going to be talking about that all throughout the broadcast. But we have a special dedicated time to talk about our blessed hope and why we can make such a bold statement. But PCH, why don't you do this? Why don't you open up the broadcast in a word of prayer? I'll defer that since you are the youngest. I almost said the baby of the group. Well, that's a nice thing to do as we get in our 60s. A baby over 60. How about that? Why don't you open us up in a word of prayer, brother, as we get started on this special Mother's Day?
Yeah, mid-60s of that, by the way.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, hear you. Okay. Well, Father, thank you so much for your love and favor and blessings, grace and goodness and kindness. Bless our time tonight as we try to be faithful to your word, to grow in our most holy faith, to know what we believe and why and how to share that winsomely with others. So we pray for the mind of Christ, faithfulness to your word. And again, just bless our time. May we just really develop and deepen, put down deeper roots in our most holy faith, and be so much more dedicated, committed to you, and to sharing the gospel. And so we just thank you for the privilege of this broadcast, and I thank you for the privilege of working with Eric and Daryl, and of course with Brian all those years, Father. We thank you so much. Be glorified in this time, in Christ's name.
Amen. 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 Well, ladies and gentlemen, Eric gave you the phone number to call in. You can do that, and I'll give you other methods whereby you can call in or communicate with us your questions for tonight. And we want to give you a biblical response. And, you know, if you want to give a special shout out to your mom as you do that, we wouldn't mind that. We're going to ask that you, you know, respect the time of others that may want to do the same thing. But here's the number. It's 888-995-5552. 888-995-5552. Or Eric says it's actually easy to remember as 888-995-KKLA. All the other methods are the same address, the various platforms that we have, which is tweeting, Messenger, Facebook, email on our .com website, and also Truth Social, working on some other ones as well. But all of those address, all the different platforms are the same address, Bible Info Brokers. Bible Info Brokers is the platform address to those various ways you can send us questions for this broadcast. Again, 888-995-5552. Talk to Brother Eric. And all the other platforms are Bible Info Brokers as the address. So our .com website for emails, Facebook, Tweet, Messenger, and Truth Social. You know, on our website and on our Facebook page, if you would, feel free to share. Click that little arrow that says share there, and that way the people in your contact list will be able to know that you're getting some information from the Bible Information Brokers. You're participating in a broadcast that way. That's a great way to 1 second participation by clicking that share button and let the people know that you're listening in, and they can not only join us for tonight live, but they also can join us on our archive shows as well. So let me get the information one more time before we get into the questions, and I'll be giving it out throughout the broadcast. 888-995-5552 to call Eric right now on live telephonically, PCH. If I haven't said that word, I think I said it once, if my memory served me correctly. All the other formats is Bible Info Brokers, Bible Info Brokers, Facebook, email, .com website, Tweet, Messenger, or Truth Social. Okay, so lot. PCH, there's some things that I've been reading this book. I'm going to hold it up to the people in Facebook land. And this book is called The Faithful Apologists. And it says, Rethinking the Role of Persuasion in Apologetics. And it's by, I don't know the author, maybe you do, K. Scott Olenthink, O-L-I-P-H-I-N-K. And I found the book interesting, not only because of the subject matter or the title, but to be a faithful apologist and to rethink the role of persuasion and apologetics. Is it our job to persuade people, or is that on the Lord, like the Bible talks about? We pass out the information, plant or water, and God gives the increase. Are we somewhat involved in the persuasion when we give the reason that we have, the hope that we have within us?
Yeah, I'm actually not familiar with the book. That's rare.
You not familiar with a book? Well, I've been bragging about you, but I know having 10 million books. This is just that one. I got you. But the subject matter, and I'm sure the subject matter obviously is in your field, and I'm interested in that persuasion aspect of it. It almost sounds like, I don't know if it was positive or negative when I was first thinking at first, but manipulation, persuasion, who's involved with this idea of to persuade people about what the Word of God says?
Well, sure, and this will depend on one's theology, how one approaches this. I come from a more Reformation position that it is primarily God who does the persuading, that it is only God can bring people to him, but that is, no one comes to the Lord outside of the wooing of the Holy Spirit. I look at, for example, John chapter 16, that the Holy Spirit, that he convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and not me. But that doesn't mean he doesn't use us, because God ordains the ends and the means, and the ends is for people to hear the truth and the gospel to be given to them. And the means, more often than not, is through us, through humans. So, in other words, we can't in and of ourselves persuade somebody into the kingdom, because these are spiritual issues as well as intellectual and emotional and otherwise. God has to be involved, but that doesn't mean you don't use reason and persuasion. The main word in Greek is patho, to persuade, or I persuade. And so God does use us, and we are to use arguments. In fact, again, not argumentative in a bad sense, but look at Peter, right? Be prepared to give to every person that asks you an answer, a reason for the hope that is within you, with reverence and respect. And we see over and over again in the book of Acts, Paul went into the synagogue or various places, and he reasoned with them. And so it's not merely rationalism, but it's not logical either. I hear people say naively say, well, you can't argue people into the kingdom of God. And I'm like, well, that's funny, because I was, and I have other friends who were.
Yeah.
And I thank God that there were people like Walter Martin and others who were conversant with the arguments, were conversant with the issues and the material. I thank God for them, because God used them mightily to bring me and a number of other folks, again, I know, to the Lord. So it's not merely logical, it's not merely rational, but it's not logical. In fact, I have a free outline. It's called An Apologetic for Apologetics. And I quote a number of passages, first and foremost, but I quote a number of great past theologians, people like B.B. Warfield and others who talk about these very issues. And I think of Charles Hodge as well, another great theologian from the yesteryear, and we look at the data and the information. And so there's some naivete, but we should be prepared to give an answer, a reason for the hope that is within us, with reverence and respect. That's a command. And again, by the way, look what God says to Israel in Isaiah 1:17-18-ish. Come now, let us reason, says the Lord. Well, he doesn't say emote. He doesn't say just have an emotional cathartic experience or just meditate about it, like blanking your mind out. You know, we can be persuaded. We are to reason. And this fideism, it's a fancy word, but this view of pietism, in the sense of not of being holy, but of, oh, we don't use the mind because we're spiritual here. That's a false spirituality. That's crock. Whatever that is, that's not biblical theology.
And again, I mean, that what you're saying is right in tune with what this gentleman was saying as well, is that God is, he used the expression of the divine persuader, because again, to consider, we talk about this many times, PCH, not to consider or to try to do something in a cookie cutter type method, as though you're going to talk to people in America the same way you're going to talk to people in Africa, the same way you're going to talk to people in Asia in regards to the same subject. There's too many different ways that you can present, aka persuade people, but knowing that you're not the one that ultimately is going to bring a person over into the kingdom that is 100%, as you said, the Lord.
Well, you use the key word there, ultimately. That's the operative word there. ultimately don't use, we don't do it. We don't do it in and of ourselves, but God uses, again, means to get to the ends. And so he does use reason. We're made in God's image, and part of that is being logical, rational. That's part of the way we're made in the image of God, just like having emotions, just like being moral beings, just like being social or gregarious creatures. I mean, these are all ways we're made in God's image, and there's just a lot of silly talk of people who mean well, but have been taught falsely, like the mind's a terrible thing, so waste it. And that was an old commercial years ago, and it was, you know, basically being sarcastically saying that. But unfortunately, there's many Christians who think like that. And again, I'm a free outline. People want to look at this, biblically speaking, called an apologetic for apologetics.
Great, great topic. Super topic. Well, appreciate that, PCH. And folks, if you want to join in the broadcast and participate by sending us a question, giving us a question, calling in with a question, feel free to do so. The lines are open. We have a few open lines here at 888-995-5552. 888-995-5552. Eric will be gentle with you and get you queued up, and we'll receive your phone call. Everyone else, Bible Info Broker is the address whereby you can send a question, type it in there in the various formats, Facebook, email, tweet, Messenger, and even Truth Social. All those addresses, I mean, all those platforms, one address, Bible Info Brokers. PCH, we had Maxine call in, wasn't able to hold on the line, but it's sort of like in line of the question we just had there, I mean, what we just talked about here, but it's somewhat maybe the sister of this question. Maxine from L.A. called in, and she said, let me see if I can read this properly here. Let's see. She said, what is my responsibility as a Christian? Am I to lead people to Christ? What does it mean when a person says they are spiritual? That's interesting because me and Maxine didn't talk before the show. It just happened to be the question I had. And then Maxine comes up with this question as well. So it's sort of a sister question.
Yeah, it's really related to what we were just talking about, Darrell, as you said. So let's start with the question, what does it mean when someone says they're spiritual? Well,
yeah.
It really doesn't mean anything.
That's cold, Craig.
People, yes, I know. It's my Dale Carnegie thing coming out, how to win friends and influence people. Basically, that's often, you know, I'm spiritual. So I'm not religious, you know, I'm not into religion, dude, but I'm spiritual. As it's like, oh, wow, okay. And the Bible says, yeah, you're spiritual. You're into spiritual things that are spiritually dead and are wrong. And people don't want to hear that. Oh, that's mean. That's not nice. Well, you think you're divine or potentially so. You think you can save yourself. You think you're good enough for heaven, that God ought to embrace you because heaven will be the poor without you. Those are all the false views, and they're hyper-spirituality in a sense of pseudo. I call it a pseudo. I'm not even deserving of pseudo. It's false spirituality, but it's a very common term, and people, it's cool. It's hip to be spiritual. So now back to the other part of the question, which really parallels what we're talking about, logic, reason, or persuading people. No, in one sense, it depends how we mean it. But in one sense, no, it's not my job to bring people to God. I can't. He himself only can bring them to him, to himself. So God does that. So again, I'm what's called a monergist. I believe that God does the work, that he does woo people. He does draw people to himself. He does convict them. But he does the work. I can't do it in and of myself. Now, when I say that, what I mean by that is, it is my job to share the gospel. I have the duty and the privilege to share the gospel with people. Absolutely. But I'm not under any delusions that, like, I'm the deal maker here. I can, like a salesman, I can, you know, argue somebody in a sense of almost manipulate them into the kingdom of God. It's up to me. That's just like with the reason. It's not that we don't use reason, and it's not that God doesn't use us. But the emphasis is not on us. That would be the wrong syllable if we would think the emphasis is upon us. It's upon God, and he uses us. We are the conduits. We are the means that God employs to get the gospel through. And that's the incredible privilege that we have. So in one sense, no, it's not up to me. But in another sense, yes, God does use us, and he's going to reward us or not. I mean, a lot of Christians make excuses for not sharing the gospel. They're too busy. They got this going, that going, but whatever. There's all these excuses instead of really just sharing the Lord with people with what you do know, with what you do have, and loving on people. So, yeah, it's a really good parallel issue question to the whole issue and persuasion question as well, Daryl, as you pointed out.
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting subject matter, and I wish that people will relax because you're not giving them your stuff. You're giving them the Word, God's stuff. You're giving them what God instructed us to do. So the rejection that you may get, or the so-called closing the deal, as it were, if someone does come to Christ because of the words that you speak to them, the gospel that you speak to them, knowing it's really all about God, and we have a blessed privilege to participate, just like this broadcast is. That's what we counted it, a privilege to do that, because the ultimate goal is to lead people to a Christ eternity, not a Christless eternity.
Right, and you know, Daryl, you brought something up, and I've been teaching for a long time. I've been teaching at the graduate level for 35 years, and that's not counting all the teaching I do outside of the university context and whatnot. And nothing's more frustrating to me when someone thinks that you're wrong or disagrees with you, but they never say it to you. It's kind of like everybody has a secret argument or a secret person they know that can refute you. And I'm like, well, if you've got all that, then let's hear it. Let's hear it. And so here's my point. I want to encourage and challenge people. If you think I'm all wet spiritually, if you disagree with what I'm saying for the last 20 some odd minutes, then get the outline for free and then write me back,
yes.
Email me, and show me where I'm wrong. Show me from Scripture where I'm wrong. See, that you agree or disagree really doesn't matter to me. What I want to know is, can you refute what I'm saying? And specifically, can you, of course, you have to use logic and reason to do it. That's the irony. I don't believe in logic, but they use logic to try to refute logic. That's called self-stultifying or self-referentially refuting argument. It's a 50-cent term for that. But to the point, Daryl, again, is then show me from Scripture that I'm wrong in light of my arguments that I give you in the outline and apologetic for apologetics. That's what it's all about. And people, that you do yourself a disservice and you go, well, I disagree with that, and I could refute that. Well, let's hear it.
Yeah.
I mean, don't tell me, you know, everybody's an expert in everything. If you've got such really good material, if you will, let's hear it.
Beautifully said, Maxine. Excellent question, Maxine. Right in tune to me, at least, from what I was thinking about a lot today and for all the week, because people are saying, don't try to confuse me with the things that you think are true. I said, the things that I think are true? Okay. They said, because there is really no absolute truth. And, of course, when they say that, the obvious question is, are you absolutely sure? Then they look at them, give you that look, Craig, like, oh, now you're playing games. No, I'm not playing games. I'm just doing what you just said, Professor. You're challenging them that the very logic they say is not a logical situation, but is belief and faith is not without logic. That's where the whole apologetic industry, if I can use that expression, comes into play. 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552. Call Eric. He has open lines. Take advantage of them right now. Also, Bible Info Brokers is the address for our various platforms to send questions. You can type them in, whether it's Facebook, email, at our .com website, Tweet, Messenger, or even Truth Social. Bible Info Brokers are those various platforms. I mean, various platforms with the same address, Bible Info Brokers. Let's go to Chatworth PCH and talk with Eric. Eric, thanks for calling in.
Good evening, brothers.
How you doing,
calling
bro?
Great calling in telephonically. Nice from Chatsworth.
Indeed, indeed.
You know, and Daryl, I had a thought. You know, I was thinking next time I call in, I might streamline the process and bypass my brother Eric there on the phones. I was thinking about calling in psychically.
Now, you know what? Is there a psychophonically, Craig? Is there such a word? ESP, ESPN, ESPLE?
Well, I'm thinking with all the spiritual gifts you guys display on here,
my
there,
goodness.
That I might be able to reach PCH just that, in that method.
Oh, it sounds like somebody that has a great donation he wants to receive. No, I'm just kidding. Appreciate you, Eric, as always. What's your question for the night, brother?
Yes, I am calling in on a serious topic that a few years back I called in, and appreciate you guys reviewing this with me. Possibly one of the most important things in our Christian life. I think two of the most important words in all of our relationships with God and with each other is redemption, restoration, part of God's plan. I'm calling in about one of the most important parables, the parable of the prodigal son, Luke chapter 15, specifically verses 17 through 21. And I just really think it's important for us all as brothers and sisters to have on our heart what true repentance and confession looks like. Because I think I hear very often, and I've experienced it in my life, the inability to really restore a relationship between two individuals, because there's an idea that we can, quote unquote, confess or repent with God as opposed to each other. I think it's Hebrews chapter 11, which calls us directly, or maybe it's chapter 9, directly to confess to one another. And here in the prodigal son, what's very interesting is before the son even comes to the father with the confession, he confesses himself when he's in despair. Not only is he confessing himself before he comes to his father, he says, I have sinned against heaven and you, sinned against God and you as an individual. Then comes to his father, and then he confesses again, saying, I have sinned against heaven and you. And I just wanted us to talk about the necessity that a personal relationship between individuals can't be restored unless there's a full confession, because the two individuals know what happened between each other. Sure, God knows, and you confess to God, but you got to confess fully to each other as well.
You know, Eric, before we pass this on to PCH, I just want to add to your question or your thought that the idea of easy believism, I think, leads directly or maybe some kind of relative to this easy, forgive everybody, whether there's any kind of repentance or not, for your own head's sake, for your own heart's sake. I just have a very simple message. I've said it countless times over the air for the last 25 plus years. I don't forgive people unless they do repent, and there's fruit of repentance, and we go through that process. That's what we're going to talk about. But at the same time, vengeance is not mine. It's the Lord's. He shall repay. So I don't waste my time trying to get revenge on someone who's unrepentant. That's just the way I understand the scripture to say. PCH, the baton is yours.
Yes. Well, I mean, I think, Chris, as usual, Eric's onto something here. Metanoia is the noun. Metanao is the verb in Greek. And it's a change of mind. It's 180 degrees. And part of a repentance is always confession at various levels, but there is a confession, homologeo in Greek, means to say the same thing, to agree. I agree with God, and I agree, when I've wronged somebody, and there's got to be some ownership here. It's not just boohooing. It's not being emotional, per se. It is a genuine conviction of guilt, a genuine contrition of sorrow for what one has done, and a renouncing of it, and an asking of forgiveness. And God, I believe, more times than not, he wants us to go to that person or people we've sinned against and to acknowledge it. I did this, or I didn't do that. I should have done this, or I shouldn't have done that. And I'm acknowledging that. And it is before God, and it is before the person or people, singular or plural, as the case may be, that we've sinned against them. And it's vital, because otherwise, many times, we're just fooling ourselves. We're not really owning what we've done, and there needs to be, you see it, part and parcel of repentance is confession goes with that. So even coming to Christ, it is seeking, what is repentance, and it is seeking forgiveness, and it is a confession of, yes, I've done wrong, I am guilty.
But so often today, people, they just, well, we let them go through the motions, and more often than not, really what they're sorry for is simply that they got caught. And there's not genuine repentance or godly repentance. Notice, for example, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, it says, for instance, a godly sorrow, verse 10 of chapter 7, brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. So what godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation? And in Romans 10, we read about, right, that we read about, again, that if you will confess your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Christ from the dead, you will be saved. And so the confession, the repentance, contrition, they all go together. And if it doesn't, it's my real deep theology here. If it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a duck. If it seems a person hasn't really repented and they only seem to be repenting because they got caught, the only thing they're sorry for is getting caught, then you may well be correct in believing that the person has not genuinely repented and that you need to be cautious with them because they may just be looking to take advantage of you for another round. Yeah. And one ought to be aware of that.
Yeah, I think this is obviously one of the great focal teachings in the New Testament because it's about restoring relationships. And I think it's very interesting, obviously, in the Father here, we have a dual nature. He's representing not only the humanly Father, but the godly Father. And the Son says, I have sinned against heaven and you. Heaven and you. He's saying that to the Father representing his earthly Father and his heavenly Father. And he can't restore a relationship with either Father without that full, true confession.
You know, if I can just add a quick thing to that, that in the confession, in the forgiving people or forgiving one that may have sinned against you, I just think that we as believers need to always be poised and in position to restore relationships. But the Bible does warn us kind of it says something along the line, I'm paraphrasing, for all that you have within you and this crisis in you to, you know, to do your best to reconcile, you know, to be at peace with people. But it's implying that it's not going to always be the case. So, but you have to be poised and in position to always to want to reconcile.
Yeah. Excellent. Thank you, brothers. God bless you.
Appreciate you.
Keep an eye out for that psychic hotline, okay?
You got it, brother. You put it up. What is that, an 888 number? Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate you, Eric.
God bless.
No, I believe it's actually Klondike 5.
Klondike 5 or Richmond 9, 5171, the old Olympic Auditorium number. I remember that one. You know what? Because Brian's family, Craig, I don't know if I think you knew it. Brian's family owned Mr. Allen owned a boxing gym right next to Olympic Auditorium for years. And I remember the Olympic Auditorium with that number I just gave you, Richmond 95171. It's amazing how you can remember things like that in songs. You can remember songs, but why don't we remember as many scriptures as we remember all those other things? That's another story. That's another subject for another day. But you know what, Craig? I have a task for you. You're pretty good with, you know, words and all that Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic and all that kind of good stuff. But how good are you with letters? And just use three. And if you see if you can keep it in context of participation and giving to this ministry, can you handle that or not?
I don't know. I can sure give it a try.
Well, shoot. Give your best shot, brother.
Well, in fact, I'll give three mentions. And I want to thank those who, of course, are our prayer partners with us, who stand with us prayerfully and support us prayerfully. That's what it's all about. That's where the action is. If God doesn't bless, we believe we're wasting our time. We're wasting your time and our time and everybody else's. But if God's doing it, then that's a different ballgame. But we also ask people, if they believe in what we're doing, to stand with us financially as well. And there's three ways you can do that. You can do that just for the VIB, the Bible Info Brokers, the general fund that pays the radio expenses, the expenses for the website, webmaster, and all that stuff. We have really low overhead, but there is some, such as radio time. So you can say and designate your funds to go to the general fund, the BIB general fund, or you can give to the FFF, the Faithful Friend Fund, and that is that goes to pay the insurance for our dear brother Brian, who's with the Lord, his wife's insurance, which we want to continue to pay for because of Brian and her faithfulness, and we believe that's right and pleasing before the Lord. So you can say and designate your funds as such. Or give you the other third option of the threes is the TOT, the Training of Trainers. Training of Trainers. In fact, Daryl will be leaving pretty shortly here, 2 weeks. I'll be out gone for about 2 weeks, come back for two, 3 weeks, and then go another 2 weeks out.
Wow, yeah.
As we train Christian leaders, pastors, missionaries, in various parts of the world, particularly in Asia, Southeast Asia. And basically, again, that allows us to do that, to pay for example, airfare, for training, lodging, food, all that. And, of course, the training is for free, if you will. And many of them would not be able to make it if we didn't pay for the travel. And by God's grace, we're fortunate to be able to do that. But at any rate, that all takes funds. And, yeah, God's ultimately in control, but we are a faith-supported broadcast, and we rely upon God working through his people. That's typically how he does it, working through his people. So if you want to stand with us prayerfully and financially, whether the BIB Fund or the Faithful Friend Fund or the Training of Trainers, that's up to you, but we would ask that you would even prayerfully consider that. And whatever you can do, thank God, we appreciate it, because this is our really busy season, if I could say it that way, of a lot of travel this summer, training Christian leaders, pastors, missionaries, and you can be a vital part of that, and Daryl's going to tell you how you can do just that.
And here's how you can do it, ladies and gentlemen. Craig used a big word, a very important word, was you would have an opportunity to designate where it's going to go in those three alphabets that he gave you, those group of alphabets, or how you designate. And folks that have been doing it brilliantly and just lovely in the past, it makes actually accounting and all that stuff so much easier when you do things like that, because we can know where the money is going. We know what other things need to be supported, and we can let you know. And we really, really appreciate it. Listen, if you're going to send a check, and by whatever method, and I always suggest that if you have a relationship with your bank online, then you can save stamp money, you can save fee money by them simply writing the check out for you and sending it by you giving them instructions either online or calling them and saying, hey, how can I set up a payment system? If you want to do a recurring payment, it's up to you. A one-time payment, if you could do it by check, it's very super important that you make the check and the envelope out to LBTW, or Living by the Word. You can spell it out, Living by the Word. And the post box office number is 90477. In Los Angeles, 90009. So super important that if you write out a check yourself or have your bank do it or what have you, anytime you're going to mail something in, the address and the title must be on the check and also on the envelope, Living by the Word. Living by the Word, LBTW is fine, at P.O. Box 90477 in Los Angeles, 90009. And if you're inclined, you want to go right to the website, you can scroll down, or you can simply click the support and donate icon on top or on the side, and it'll take you to a page whereby you can simply read that one paragraph instruction, follow the instructions, and you can do the same thing. And also, again, you can designate, obviously, if you write in, but also online as well, whether you do it through our PayPal or whether you do it through the other methods that they have there, recurring or one-time gift, whichever you have, whichever you decide to do between you and the Lord. But we really appreciate it because you are giving not to us but through us to be able to be a participant. And trust me, God already knows your heart. God already knows what's happening. You work that out with you and the Lord, especially you believers. And if you're going to give because you like what we're doing, whether you're a believer or not, we really appreciate the support to get the job done that God would have us to do. Again, P.O. Box 90477. Make the checks and money orders out to LBTW, or Living by the Word, in Los Angeles, 90009. And we thank you, thank you, thank you, a thousand thank yous for those that have been supporting us. Please continue to pray for us. And one quick caveat. Do not take away from the ministry whereby you're going. I know people have heard this too many times on the radio or on TV, but don't take away from where you're giving your spirit or working your spiritual gift at the place you go, church, fellowship. do not take away from that. It's this extra money that God, Lord, have blessed you with. If you want to sacrifice on some other ends, that's great. But don't take away from the ministry that you are growing in and supporting and exercising your spiritual gift. And I really appreciate that. Don't take it as a fuss. Just take it as a very serious and sincere admonition that we trust in God and we'd rather have your prayer more so than your money, because that's what's super important to us, that you continually lift us up in prayer. Thank you very much. Hey, the number you can call, we have about 15 minutes left to the first half of the broadcast, 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552, on this wonderful Mother's Day, 2023. Wow, Craig, 2023. 888-995-5552. Bible Info Brokers is the address to all the various platforms we have, like Facebook, our email.com we just talked about, Truth Social, Messenger, and also Tweet, Bible Info Brokers. Write that down. And don't forget, on these social platforms, go ahead and share that that little click that button that has say share, and it'll be able to get to all your contacts. Okay, PCs, let me see what we have here. Let me go to, I'm looking at the Facebook page of various things. Let's go to a phone call while you're answering this question. I can check out the other methods that we have. We're going to bring Ted up from the city of Los Angeles. Ted, thanks for holding on and calling in.
Thank you, sir. Ted, City of the Angels. I didn't realize you were actually a police officer in Inglewood, and you grew up in Inglewood?
Actually, I worked at the court in Inglewood. I grew up in Inglewood. I worked for the city hall since I was 16 years old, and I grew up to be a young man there. And it's before that new building was there, I was there. Let's put it that way.
Well, my mother used to take me to St. Vincent Edwards Park.
It used to be Centinella. Used to be Centinella Park.
Right, yeah. I used to go there and have the fun, so much fun in the 70s she brought us there. And then one of my best friends growing up lived by the Forum.
Yeah.
And so I used to ride my bike all the way up there, all those steep hills and past the cemeteries. It was amazing.
Quite interesting. Well, I won't say any more about other than my paper routes was before I moved to Inglewood, was all in that area also. So I was destined to be an Inglewood guy in my maturation. That's enough about us. What about you, Craig? No, anyway. What's your question for today, Ted?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't live in Inglewood. I grew up in Culver City.
But no, I got you. I got you.
Yeah. But at any rate, this is kind of like, there was a question from a practicing Jew, he called himself, Frank, that came on the air, KKLA, during the day with the Pastor Scott Farrell show. And he had some questions. I answered two of them a few days later, but the last one I never answered was basically, he said that the Jewish people feel or they believe that you are born with a clean slate and not an inherited sin. And my answer would be, if that's true, then why do you need rabbis to teach people between right and wrong? And if your children left alone will attack each other, will steal each other's toys without any training at all, and do some of the cruelest things and the most rigorous honesty about a situation, versus an adult that will keep their mouth shut because they've been taught that's not good, but kids don't care. So if that's true, like I said, why do we need rabbis for? Why do we need teachers to teach people between the right and wrong if we're not born with an inherited sin?
Yes, I mean, I think you did a great job there, what you just said, Ted. That's very aptly put. And old rabbinic Judaism, before even the time of the New Testament and the time as well, the bulk of the views, just my understanding of rabbis, was that, in fact, it's kids could sin in the womb, that people, I wouldn't necessarily say they had a sin nature, but certainly that they could sin and did sin. And so this is highly controversial. This is much more of a humanistic, this is a 20th century viewpoint, if you will, every day and every way we're better and better type of thing. We're basically good. That mantra. And I think you did a good job of painting the picture and the problem. I would put it like this. okay, if we're all basically good, or at least a clean slate, how come every one of us messes up? It would seem to me that out of the billions of people that have lived, and even that are on the face of the earth today, we could find some people who are perfect. You know what I'm saying? Okay, maybe not the right. majority, but why can't we find one? We can. And so to me, that's just ridiculous. The probability that I'm born with a clean slate, I'm basically good, if you will, and that it's only as I come into life I get corrupted. Well, where does the corruption come if people are basically good? You can't have it both ways. And so I think that's very problematic. And, of course, looking even at David says, you know, in iniquity was I born, in sin I was conceived. So they don't really take their own scriptures seriously, but then we know that. I mean, most of Judaism is really is about ethnicity and being united ethnically and what have you. It's not really about, it's not really doctrinal anymore. Very few Jews, relatively speaking, actually believe in any sense of, take seriously the Tanakh or the Old Testament, in a sense, the Word of God. Oh, it's religious material, of course, and it's inspired, some would say. Others would just say it's, well, it's not even true, and others would say, well, you know, it's fine, but it's not more authoritative than my own position. It's just an idea. So, but again, then how do we account for all the people, and I would argue every single one of them, who are messed up?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Great answer. Yeah.
Jan, super question. Appreciate you, man.
You took it on well, but yeah. And there's whole groups now, the Jews Jews for Judaism. And, you know, they've got much more proactive trying to counteract groups like Jews for Jesus and even people like myself and others who do apologetics. And I've got some of their literature, and they try to, I would argue, try to answer, but they're not even faithful to their own, I would argue, to their own scriptures. And I'm not trying to be mean to them, but again, people just sometimes believe some silly things, and they're untenable in light of the facts. The facts just don't support them. I mean, I think of, and I don't want to make light of this, I think of books and the play of the same name, The Quarrel. I think of the works of Elie Wiesel and others, and talking about how, okay, we failed you, God, but you failed us too, and we've got a quarrel with you. And you're like, really? Seriously? You did the very things God told you not to do, the very things that God judged the other nations for and kicked them out of what ultimately became the Promised Land. For example, in Deuteronomy 18:9-14, God tells them not to do certain things like the occult, like divination, magic, spiritism, sorcery. And, of course, their biggest form of the occult is the Kabbalah, the Jewish occultism. And they do the very thing God said not to do, and they're like, yeah, well, we've got a quarrel with you, God. You might want to rethink that one.
Indeed.
That they should, at least.
Hey, Chad, appreciate your phone call, my brother. God bless you, man.
God bless you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Mother's Day. I mean, let me wake you up there. We have phones available. We have Facebook available, Truth Social, Bible, InfoBrokers.com website. All these apparatuses for you to call in with your open, honest question. Let's talk about what the Bible says about the things that you may be going through. Did you hear a sermon today? You don't have any questions? Well, did you write your comment to the pastor and tell him what a great job he did? You should do that. If you went to a Bible study, those questions were already totally answered for you, great. You should let the Bible teacher know that you appreciate the knowledge. Well, but if you do have a question and you didn't ask that question to them, then take an opportunity to do so with us. Share with our listening audience. Be a part of the team. You are the team. 888-995-5552. 888-995-5552 is the number. Our Bible Info Brokers is the address for the Facebook, email, tweet, messenger, or even Truth Social. We're going to get to some questions on the messenger. I have a couple of questions here on messenger. We're going to deal with on the other side of the break, Craig. But what I want to do is take a serious opportunity to talk about the gospel right now. I mean, I just, again, Mother's Day, I was blessed the fact that my mother's name was Grace. And then when I learned later on as a young man about what grace meant from a biblical perspective, I was born by grace, Craig, as I say, and I was born again by grace. how can you put that together in a message to let the people know how, even though I have double grace by being born physically and born again in the spirit by grace, how can we get people to understand that?
Well, sure, Daryl. I guess I'll look at two ways we could look at Mother's Day. I mean, some people had, well, I realize you got a mom in between, but some of you had really great moms. And you have the fondest memories of your mom and growing up and what she did for you and just her support and encouragement and all the ways that she was just a great mom to you, a great person to you. And I want to come back to that in a moment. But I want to recognize there's people who right now said, man, my mom was a nightmare, was a train wreck. And or she took off, she cheated on my dad, or she took off and left us, and or whatever, or, you know, whatever the case may be. I want to acknowledge that because you're thinking, this Mother's Day stuff, that didn't do much for me. And the latter is because of sin, because people are messed up. I'm not making excuses for it, but people are just, they've got problems. I saw a thing today. My family was watching a thing on Katharine Hepburn, and well, she might have been a great actress, but she had some real problems. for years in an adulterous relationship with Spencer Tracy and so on and so forth, and how she treated some people, many people at many times, definitely not got good. Why? Because of sin, because people are messed up, because... And just like talking with Ted, just like we're talking about, people aren't basically good. And if you think that, you go to a jail. Why do we have courts? Why do we have police departments? Why do we have other stuff? It's because people aren't basically good, and many people have to be constrained, literally. And if it wasn't for the law, people have done polls and that. And if it wasn't for the consequences legally, many people would lie, cheat, and steal constantly. The only thing that really keeps them from doing that is the threat of getting caught and then the penalties that goes with that. But going back, even those had a great mom, but that's from God. The family, when it functions properly, is a gift from God. It's one of what we call three orders of creation. One of them is family, and that's the beauty of heaven. And you and I are talking, Daryl, and I'm looking forward to someday going to heaven, and one of my favorite people will be seeing my mom, because my mom was just a great lady and did a lot of things for myself and my siblings and was just a godly lady, and so I'm looking forward to seeing her. Here's a point, friend. Every good thing in life or person or people in your life are from God, and the things that are messed up and bad, that's because of sin, and frankly, that's our fault. We messed up. We bring that stuff into our lives through our sins. And here's the point. If you repent, turn away from that stuff, ask for forgiveness, God will forgive you. Life and that more abundantly is found only in God. And harmonious relationships and living at peace with one another and experiencing the fullness of joy with God, but also great fellowship with one another, that is only found in God. That is only found in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I don't care how good or, for that matter, how bad your life's going right now. What matters is a personal relationship with God, knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, trusting in Him and Him alone for salvation, for deliverance from the mess. What's the salvation? Not just a religious term, but deliverance from the mess that we've made of this world, of this country, and of the entire world. Trust in Jesus Christ. What you're looking for, the best meaning, significance, purpose in life is only found in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is only comes about as one acknowledges you're messed up, confessing, I've sinned, I've done things I shouldn't do, I've not done things I should have done to God and others, I've sinned against God and others. You confess that, and you repent of that, turn from your sins, ask for forgiveness, and trust in the forgiveness that only God can give through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
An eternal decision with eternal consequences. Please, please, please take heed to what Professor said in regards to that. PCH, we had a question that came in on Messenger. I'm going to deal with one of the Reverend Field's question on this side of the break. And if we need to go in and we can deal with this other question on the other side of the break. But I want to give the people an opportunity to start calling in now as we get ready to transition to the other half of the broadcast. Call Eric right now. We have the open lines at 888-995-5552. 888-995-5552. All the other formats the ones that we have available are Facebook, Truth Social, email at .com website, tweet, or Messenger. Excuse me. It's quite interesting to be able to go on the various formats that they're available, and they're all there. Folks, take advantage of and send your question in for the night's broadcast, but also you can make questions all during the week. And please, while you're on our .com website, pay close attention to the Bible study that we have with Brother Sal, who's been organizing and taking care of that. Look at the information and give him a call and set that up. If you don't have another Bible study that you're going to, if you just want to join that one as well. And take advantage of those resources that we have on our website and also on our Facebook page. But here's a question real quick, PCH. I think we have about 3 minutes left, so we can start the answer to this question. What, and Reverend Field is asking, why was it so important to have a son in the Jewish family? And he gives an example like the Shulamite woman in 2 Kings chapter 4, wanted a son, not a daughter. So was that bad if there was no son in the family?
Well, I don't want if I want to say bad, but right. It was considered better if there was a son. So some cultures are patriarchal and some are matriarchal. Most of them are patriarchal, and particularly in ancient times, most were definitely patriarchal, and lineage came through the male, especially the oldest male child, and then so on and so forth. So it's not the view, as in some cultures, in Asia and Southeast Asia, where having a girl is almost a curse, but it was seen as superior, a male, because you needed two things. So, and there's at least two reasons. Well, one is because, again, it's seen as an heir. It's someone to carry on the family name. I mean, as is the practice, I mean, right as in America, being women, at least used to, not so much anymore, but it was for years a practice of taking their husband's last name, right? Mm-hmm. Literally, we would use the phrase, but they mean it literally, to carry on the name of the family. It means to carry on the lineage of the family name, and so the male child would do that. The female gets the name of her husband, so the name is not carried on. I mean, those are some of the reasons, at least.
You know, that's interesting you say that, because with the passing on of my Uncle Leon at 90 years old in Atlanta, and we just had his services in Louisiana as far as laying him to rest as far as his body is concerned, he is the last generation. And now my generation is the oldest, and we were just counting the Fulton boys, or men, I should say, that are left that was going to carry on the name like that. And I have friends who are the absolute last one in their family to carry on the lineage as that as well. So it gets real, PCH. It gets really real. Well, what is also real is that we're doing a live presentation where you can participate. You can call in right now, because Eric have a complete open board. You can call him right now and then they want phone calls to get your questions asked and answered at 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552. Call Eric right now. He's ready for you. Or all the other formats is Bible Info Brokers as the address. Bible Info Brokers for Facebook, email, tweet, Messenger, or Truth Social. We'll be back after these messages. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Living by the Word Ministries presentation of the Bible Information Brokers on this fine Mother's Day. I'm going to step aside for a hot second and give two very important gentlemen for this broadcast an opportunity to do a lovely shout out to their mothers on Mother's Day.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. I want to mention my mom, who's going to be with the Lord back in 2019, Mary Dolores.
Yes.
And actually my sister, who was a mother of three, passed in 2020. Her name was Malaika. And I just want to say that I love them both dearly and I miss them to this day. And also I wanted to mention our engineer Ozzy's mom, who has gone on to be with the Lord, Olivia. And the same thing, he wants to just tell her he loves her and he misses her also.
And, folks, that is so super important. I mean, we say that. I mean, I know Father's Day will be coming up, I think. Is it in June? I forget sometime. But the idea of mothers, we all come through there. We were at church today, PCH, and listening audience, and we were talking about the whole idea about motherhood and biblical moms and what is it is all about. I even posted a message of our service today at Lincoln Avenue, the call to biblical womanhood in Titus 2, verses 3 to 5. And PCH, Yolanda, I'm going to get to your call in a second. I want to bring up this subject matter from the standpoint of how Paul was telling Titus how important it was for, and the order it is they're talking about teaching sound doctrine. And then he goes right into the thing about the men, how we are to be as older men in Titus 2:2, and then it goes right into Titus 3. We know we mentioned, I know it's not a polite thing to mention women's age in American culture, but in African cultures it is revered. And in Titus 2:3 it says, older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. PCH, everything I just read, is that not your understanding of the counterculture for a long time in America, at least?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
100%. And the sad part about it is that when you see the lack of this, then you see why this particular country of ours is in the shape that it is in, because we don't emphasize the sound doctrine that's necessary. And we've had it even said many years ago that, you know, a prominent preacher said doctrine is what screwed up the church. And the antithesis we see biblically is true. So I just wanted to point that out. And Ozzy and Eric, thanks a lot for sharing your thoughts about your mom. 888-995-5552 is the number. 888-995-5552 is the number. All the other formats to send us a question for tonight is Bible Info Brokers on Facebook, email, or our .com website, Tweet, Messenger, or Truth Social. Bible Info Brokers is the address. PCH, if you would, let's go to back to the phones and talk with Yolanda from Los Angeles. Yolanda, thanks for holding on and calling in. Yolanda, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I'm from North Hollywood.
Oh, North Hollywood. They got L.A. on here. And I apologize for dear brother Eric. Give me that false information.
just wanted to make sure you had it lined up. I always like to participate, especially when you invite us so graciously.
And let me say this, Yolanda. We appreciate. I know people may say out there that, you know, some people call in, you know, all the time. God bless y'all that call in all the time. God bless you guys 100%. And those that are praying for us, those that may want to call in but don't. I remember a young lady said, "I always wanted to give to your ministry, but I keep forgetting." She said, "You know what? I forgot the expression she used exactly, but it was something about she needs to get in her pocketbook or purse right now and make a note or write a check right now." And I remember that long ago. And I'm telling people, when you're out there, these questions are not just for you to get your question answered. These questions, other people may have very similar questions and very similar issues that's going on. So God bless you, Yolanda. Let's get into it.
Thank you. When you opened up the show, you were all, remembering when your mothers have passed on, it being Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
My mother has also passed on a few years ago. However, she was a Jesus lover. She died in Christ. And I just wanted to, I was reviewing 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4, verse 13.
Mm-hmm.
And it tells us exactly what's going to go down. And I still, even as a believer, find it so awesome. You know, it really shows the power of our Almighty God. as to what's going to happen with those who have fallen asleep and those of us who are still alive when the Lord comes back. I just, it makes, gives me goosebumps. I just, so I wanted to just talk about that. I mean, people that are non-believers would find this like the best sci-fi movie script, you know?
PC, what are your thoughts about that? The idea. I love the expression you use, goosebumps, because I think about sometimes I hear my favorites, one of my favorite songs of long ago when I was younger or even older now, and those type of things give me goosebumps. But what gives me bigger goosebumps and bigger tears than anything when an unbeliever sincerely comes to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and gets saved. I mean, it's like talking about a big baby, I'm that person. In those arenas. Or sad tears is with someone, especially the older guys I hung around, in the golf world, and they die, the tennis world, when they die, and we've had many conversations about Christ, and they die in that state, and I don't know if they did the 11th hour confession, which I'm not too confident about many of them, but that's my sad tears. So that's enough for me. PCH.
Yes,
PCA. Comment on. Yes. Yeah, she's still coming from 1 Thessalonians 4 in regards to 4:13, actually, I think it was. Was it not?
Well, 13 and then actually 16. For the Lord himself will ascend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them.
With them.
So that, you know, I just want to shout and scream and cry all at the same time. With my mother, with them, mother, you know, my auntie, those who have died in Christ. That's amazing.
Yes. But it will be.
I should be amazed. I mean, that's our God. That's our Almighty God.
Well, yeah, absolutely, Yolanda. God made us for life and for fellowship, and he made us gregarious or social creatures, and most of us thrive when we have relationships with people and ideally families, and certainly there are, you know, dysfunctional families and stuff that's not good, but there's a lot of great stuff in families. And so, yeah, I'm with you. It will be a time of rejoicing, as I have a lot of loved ones, family members, and in the Lord family. I'm really looking forward to seeing again in the afterlife, and not just seeing them, but spending eternity with them. That's the beauty of it. It's like going to some event, you know, a family function or otherwise. It's really enjoyable. And why is it that the good times, they seem like they go so quickly, and you want them to end. But heaven, it's not just hype, it's reality. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be eternity with each other and enjoying the best of each other. I mean, that is something to shout about and to celebrate. Yeah. And you know, being reunited with many of us who had really good moms, you know, with our moms, but other relatives and friends and family as well. It's going to be awesome, yes.
Well,
that's the statement I wanted to make, since you were remembering when your mothers had passed. Yeah. My mother has passed also. So for me to realize this and for this to be an event that is in my future that will happen, I have nothing to be sad about. I can walk around grinning all day.
Mm. Indeed, Yolanda. And that's the legacy that your mom left, I should say, that's emanating through you. And God bless you again. Appreciate your phone call. PCH, 888-995-5552 is the number. 888-995-5552 is the number. Craig, before I get into the second question of Reverend Phil from the Messenger platform, I just want you to just touch on, take the time that you need to let the people know about not only the the trip that you're about to take. Because I was just thinking about it from the standpoint of all the time, you know, you take a trip and come back. Let's just keep it real, man. We've had some dramatic things happen in this ministry when you take a trip and then come back. And, I I'm not superstitious at all, not even on my short putts that I miss. But I tell you one thing, I ain't going with you to Nepal. I'll go before you or after you, but I'm not going with you. So I'm just playing by the tell the folks about the trip that's coming up, PCH, and then we get into some more questions.
Yes, well, I'm actually going to Cambodia.
Yeah.
I've got some other countries, but definitely Cambodia. Coming up in a week and a half, actually, a week and a half. And a lot of that's dealing with human trafficking, and I take students from the school where I teach and to for them to see what really goes on and how they can make a difference, because that's what it's all about. It's not just knowing the problem. It's how can we as Christians make a difference? And I do want to say this. Most of the people, not all, but the vast majority that are helping out with people who are poor and oppressed or little girls or boys that are trafficked sexually and otherwise are Christians. Well, no kidding, because we believe in the value of every human being, and we don't believe in exploiting people. And we believe especially standing up and speaking out for and helping the most vulnerable. The world does a lot of talk about that, but doesn't really do a lot. And the most vulnerable are almost always children that are exploited. So at any rate, and then, of course, later on, then I'll come back for a couple of weeks and then go out to India and Nepal, and that's our training of trainers, where we train pastors, Christian leaders, like, for example, principals of a Christian school, or missionaries. And it's just, I was telling someone the last day or two, Daryl, again, it's one of the most enjoyable, enriching ministries I've ever had the pleasure of participating in. And I've had a lot of opportunities through the years because of the grace of God. But some of the best are the best is indeed of doing the type of work I'm going to be doing in the next 2 months. It's just phenomenal. And I do want to mention people can stand with us prayerfully. We do need your prayers. And yeah, I mean, it's wild. I don't want to hype on it, but I mean, like, before I go and while I'm gone, I mean, weird things happen. I've had a neighbor one time go off from my wife and my daughter. I mean, just totally, like, ballistic.
Mm.
Which just, I won't spend a lot of time talking about it, but it was just out of left field. I had a gas line break one time. I mean, I've had all kinds of things go wrong when I'm gone, and you're like, oh, what's up with that? Well, what do you think, the devil sending me a thank you note for what I do? you know, Craig, keep it up. Love the good work. Your friend. We need to be prayed up. We need to be prayed up for protection, as Paul tells us about, but also we need to be prayed up for effectiveness, for the ministry to be powerful. It's, again, we started the program out talking about persuasion, and we talked about seeing people come to the Lord and that we're involved, but we're not the causal agent in and of ourselves. And that's where prayer comes in. We need God's blessing. We need His grace. We need His favor. And so it is with this ministry. We're a faith-supported broadcast. We're going, Daryl, like when I go do the TOT training in India and Nepal, we pay the pastors, we pay their travel, their flights if necessary, or some come by car if they can, but the roads are so bad, it takes forever to drive somewhere, and the trains, like, don't get me started on that. But the point is, and then we pay for their food and lodging. You know, we take care of all that because we want them to be there to train them, to equip them, to further do the incredible, great ministries they're already doing. And when people stand with us prayerfully and financially, you're a vital part of that. We're going to try to put more hands in the Bibles of people like Prakash and Kesev, who does translations and runs a Bible shop, and Prince Bible is also a pastor, but we want to put those in the hands of him, but also of Prakash and Surendra and Deepak and the others we work with. And so just, I get really excited because it's just an incredible ministry because God is alive, God is at work, the Spirit of God is radically working in many parts of the world. I would say, perhaps unlike America, I mean, America seems to be so dead and so warmed over, so lukewarm, so apathetic to the things of God, whereas the people we're working with are just fired up and they risk literally life and limb, no pun intended, I mean, for the gospel. And it's just a real privilege, you know, for quite a while now that I've been able to be involved in this. And in you, and people listening can be involved as well with their prayers and with their financial support if they should so, you know, feel that. And I know, Daryl, you're going to tell them how they can do that, how they can partner with us and be a vital part of the ministry, the ongoing ministry that we do day in and day out. And Daryl, this program's been on for 25-plus years.
Wow. Just reflecting on that, my nephew you saw the other day, you told me about seeing him out there in the Corona area. He, you know, he reminded me that's half of his life. We've been on half of his life. Wow. Well, Craig, let me give the information to the people, and we really appreciate folks that you would prayerfully consider supporting us financially. We just thank God for all those who have been so faithful in the past and continue to be. And you can actually designate, you know, PCA's gave you one of the sources. That's the TOT. That's a training of teachers. But am I saying it right again, Craig? Because sometimes I forget it.
Is it training of trainers.
Training of trainers, yes. And listen, folks, the whole idea is that you can designate and you can just prayerfully consider what the Lord would have you to do for these particular ministries. And when you give, man, just really just ask the Lord to really bless where that money goes, to multiply it like he did the loaves of bread and fish and the stories that we have of the Bible and when Jesus was here. Because the multiplication that we want to happen is the gospel going out and souls getting saved. How about that? What a concept. And you can participate. Like, you know, we kid around with our words sometimes, but the seriousness of your participation is just that. And if you're so kind, if you go to our website and you click the icon on BibleInfoBrokers.com, you see support and donate. And there's a one paragraph and maybe a line or so information on how you can give online. I'm one of those fee guys and like to see 100% of money go into the coffer so that we can use it. And if you're going to do that, you could do it by sending a check or having your bank send a check, money order, cashier's check, what have you. But if you're going to mail anything to the ministry P.O. box, I'm going to give you in a second, it must be written out to LBTW, or you can spell it out, Living by the Word. And on the check, LBTW or Living by the Word, and mail it to P.O. Box 90477 in Los Angeles 90009. Hey, when I send money like this, I have my bank do it because I don't even have to put a stamp on there. That's even save the money for the stamp. So usually banks can do it that way. You're probably already paying some fees for you having an account. So utilize all that you have available to you. Take care of the Lord's money. And if you can send it by way of mail, LBTW, or Living by the Word, on the envelope and on the check, make it out that way and mail it to P.O. Box 90477 in Los Angeles 90009. PCA, thanks for the information, brother. And, you know, this is such an important work, and talking about the goosebumps that Yolanda gets from the Thessalonian scripture, and that we're all going to meet again. But just guess what? The beauty of being able to see how your donation as a listening audience went on to support people who never even heard of the gospel, even in their own language, now can get Bibles, now can help kids get out of being sexually abused and things like that. And people coming up in the ranks learn how to help prevent this type of stuff. Craig, God bless you, man, and you and the work. You and the work that you're doing.
Well, if he doesn't, nothing good's going to happen. So thanks, Daryl.
That's right. That's right. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we have some open lines available. 888-995-5552. 888-995-5552 is the number. And you can call Eric right now. You have some open lines. Every other format is Bible Info Brokers. Bible Info Brokers for Facebook, email, tweet, messenger, or Truth Social. Here's the second question from Reverend Field, kind of connected to the first question, Craig, in regards to his first question was about, you know, why boys in the everybody was asking for a boy like the Shulamite woman, and we explained that on the first part of the show. The second question is somewhat connected to it. It says, why did the firstborn get, and this is kind of important in the sense that when people pass away nowadays and, you know, all my lifetime, I've seen people, families struggle with what's left behind. The temporary stuff that someone left that you didn't even earn, people are having trouble with dividing it all up. If there was no will, or even if there's a will, there's some problems here. But the question Phil has, Craig, is this. Why did the firstborn get more than the other kids in the family? He says it seems very divisive. What are your thoughts?
Can be, and of course, sometimes the firstborn can be irresponsible and selfish, but whatever. But many times, and I know many people will be able to relate to what I'm about to say, is that the oldest child, particularly the oldest male, often was the big brother. The phrase "big brother," not just older, obviously in that sense, but it was a big brother. Or where you say, "Oh, he's a big brother to me," it means it took care of me. So the idea was they would get more because they would tend to use that, be more responsible for the whole family, and what was given to them, they would be like the trustee, if you will, of oversight. So I mean, and again, of course, there's exceptions, and it's not always the case. Obviously, again, sometimes the oldest male can be a totally irresponsible, but many times they really step up to the plate, and so the idea was they can and will help the whole family. So at any rate, that's the reason they're often, I mean, among others, were given more. They're also seen as there's something special about being the firstborn. The phrase was the one that opened up their mother's womb. And so there's just a special honor. It's seen as ordained by God, number one. And number two is, being on a utilitarian sense, a practicality is that they often, if more was given to them, they would be the more responsible ones, would have a sense of duty and helping to take care of the entire family, particularly, obviously, their younger siblings. So they were given more.
Interesting concept. And it's pretty pervasive even today's time as well. Somewhat. 888-995-5552. 888-995-5552 is the number you can call. Eric, we have some open lines. There was a caller that called in, didn't want to stay on the line, and I'm going to use the name that Eric gave me here, David. He wanted to know if someone who has committed or is committing, oh, I'm sorry, who has admitted to committing adultery in a marriage but claims to be a Christian. And here's the part that always kind of troubles me, but he's asking a question: were they ever really saved? And before you answer that in particular, Craig, I'm just going to give a generality. We could do that with any sin. Mm-hmm. We could do that with any sin. If a person admits this, and we were talking about confession earlier, and no matter what the sin is, you could do that with any sin anybody's doing. And, you know, the Bible talks about practicing, make a distinction between practicing sin and committing sin and confession, mm-hmm. all that stuff. But the last part of his question is, were they really ever saved? You got it, PCH.
Yeah, and if we have time, I'm going to come back to even the idea that and I appreciate Reverend Phil's question. It seems like divisive, but we also have this idea that it should be always be egalitarian, that everybody should get the same cut.
Mm.
And there's some problems with that idea, I'm going to argue biblically. And but to this question, no, I'm really glad you said what you did, because we could do this game, and I'm not trying to be funny, but we could do this game with any sin. Yeah, well, then you must not have really been a Christian. Well, you wouldn't really sin if you're a Christian. You wouldn't do that. I mean, here's the reality. Sometimes people who do those things, of course, are not Christians, and they have the said faith. They claim to be believers, but they've never really trusted in Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, Christians do sin, and sometimes egregious sins. Look at David. Now, of course, you can say, well, he wasn't really saved then. Well, that's awfully hard to argue that. But look what David did with Bathsheba. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So the reality is Christians can commit some horrific sins as well. The difference between the Christian and the non-Christian, the difference is not that they sin and we don't. That's not the case. The difference is we have no excuse. They do what comes natural to them, not that makes it right. Non-Christians sin. That's what non-Christians do. That's their values. The Christian has no excuse. We know better, and we have the Spirit of God living within us, so we can never say, well, we can never honestly say, oh, I couldn't help myself. I've done this or whatever, and I couldn't stop myself. No, you chose not to stop yourself. So that question is unanswerable because it's on an individual basis. But I think the best thing I've heard tonight is what you just said is, but yeah, but you can say that about anything, any sin. Well, were they really a Christian? Hey, you know what? That's a question, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and 6 and other ones. I have an outline on judge or you will be judged, and I talk about things we are to judge, supposedly, and the things we're not. But one of them is stuff like this. We don't know. God knows, and he'll make the call. And I'll be an expert on this in heaven. In heaven, after God judges everybody, I will be able to tell you whether they were or not.
Well, very good, Craig. Called Monday Morning Quarterback, and I know you like football, but good Lord, Craig, come on.
Thank you very much.
Now, you know what? It's something that came to my mind in regards to that question, and you know what? It went away, and maybe it'll fly back in my head, and we'll deal with it then. But let's continue taking phone calls here. Let's go to our dear friend Joy in Costa Mesa. Joy, thanks for holding on and calling in.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, guys. Well, so I have this Muslim friend that ever since Easter has been contacting me with these long texts. He finally came to the church and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, a lot of things. But he keeps texting me. So his latest today, and I think he's trying to convert me to be a Muslim, even though I've told him everything. You're wasting your time, Mohammed. I mean, it's... Anyway, so today he sends me a little 47-second video. Please watch it, Joy. Tell me what you think. So this guy is saying, you know, Christians don't even know Jesus spoke Aramaic. And, you know, Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, and, you know, if you Google the word for God in Aramaic, it's Allah, Allah. So Allah, the and La for God. So Jesus called him Allah. Anyway, Professor, I've said a lot of things to him, and I've given him scripture, and I don't believe it's in vain, really, but what would you say to him?
Sound like some persuasiveness going on there, Craig. We talked about it at the beginning of the broadcast, but go ahead, Craig.
I mean, and I had a question about Aramaic. So Jesus did speak Aramaic, and I said, and we do know that. Christians do know that he spoke Aramaic, and yes. And the Bible was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic, but it wasn't a lot in Aramaic. Could you answer that one first? How much of the Bible was written in Aramaic?
Very little. Two chapters in Daniel and two verses in Jeremiah. So if Aramaic is all that important, so if it's all that important, why wasn't there more of the Bible written in it?
Okay, excellent.
So here's the issue. He's assuming, there's a couple things. You have to unpack people's assumptions. It's not just what they say. It's the presuppositions behind it. And by the way, though, he's confusing Aramaic and Arabic, okay? The Quran, for example, most Muslims speak Arabic, right? So anyways, he's confusing that with Aramaic. They're both Semitic languages.
Go ahead.
They're both Semitic languages, but they're not the same. So he's got that actually confused, number one. Number two is, just because somebody speaks a language, look, I predominantly speak English, but I can speak French and German and stuff as well, and Greek and Hebrew. So if you said, well, Craig must have said it in English, well, that doesn't follow, especially in cultures that are multilingual, where they're really... Aramaic, I'm going to do it myself, was the lingua franca of business, of government, of commerce. And at the time earlier on, at the time of Christ, it's more Greek. Because of the Hellenization of the Middle East, because of the influence of Alexander the Great, but earlier than that, Aramaic was the lingua franca. So it was the common language of government, again, commerce, so on and so forth. So just like in any place, if you want to trade internationally, as we would say, you need to speak in a language that everybody else speaks, which is typically, for example, today, English. I've been many, many places, and literally people who weren't that far from each other, and they couldn't understand each other's dialect, but they both spoke English, so they could talk to each other. So that's another issue. By the way, the lingua franca at the time is Greek. So we know Jesus spoke, yes. some Aramaic. It doesn't mean he only spoke Aramaic, okay? He spoke Hebrew as well. And I would dare say, certainly at times he would have probably spoken Greek also. Why is the New Testament written in Greek? I mean, there's a guy, I mean, it's kind of tangential. There's a guy named George Lanza. He's passed on now. And he was really big on what's called the Peshitta. The Peshitta is what the 400s was a Aramaic translation of the New Testament. And he tried to argue that it was actually, the New Testament was written in Aramaic and then translated into Greek. And that's not true. But it's based off the work of what's called the Peshitta. At any rate, that academically, that view's been beat up. It just doesn't hold water. So this guy's confusing Arabic with Aramaic, number one. Number two, he's making it sound like Jesus only spoke Aramaic, right? And that doesn't follow either. So what's the point? Sorry, and there was a third point. I hate to admit it, I just lost it myself. But he has another point back there, and it doesn't follow from what he's trying to say. So it's kind of like Christians don't know that. No, Christians do know that. Here's what I know. Most right. Muslims have never read the Quran. Hardly read any of it. They know a few surahs at best, some key verses, because they recite them regularly in the mosque, if you will. But most Muslims have not read, they're not really conversant right. With the Quran, let alone the Bible.
Right, right.
And so
Arabic... I'm sorry, finish. Go ahead.
You said something else, though. There was another point he made to you. He said Christians don't know that, right?
Yeah. And just before I get to that point, just say about the Arabic. So Arabic was spoken at that time also of Jesus, or no?
Well, Arabic has been around a long time as well, but it's not the common language in the Middle East at the time, but it is... It's more like a tribal dialect at that time. It's not an international language. That's Aramaic, and then it became Greek because of Alexander the Great and his influence and his attempt to literally force the nations that he conquered to speak and write Greek.
Okay. So
you had another point,
The point, that's what I want to get to, because you're right. This was the whole point that he was getting to, is that So in Aramaic, the word for God is Allah.
Oh,
and he's saying, and so he wants to convince me all along, all these texts, Jesus is not God, Joy. Jesus is not God. How can he be God? So this is his last point. Al means the, La is God, and Jesus called him Allah, God Allah.
Oh. Well, on those things, they tended to use the Hebrew Elah or Elohim, so he's got that wrong. And by the way, so two more points, that's what it was, you repeated it. So, first of all, there's an equivocation fallacy that goes on, and I've heard this even among very intelligent Muslims. They'll say, well, the name for God, in Aramaic at least, is Allah, right? And so that proves that Christians should worship the same God as the Muslims do. But that's an equivocation fallacy. But we mean somebody entirely different by the phrase, by the word Allah. So just saying Allah doesn't mean you worship the same God. And how would that prove that Jesus wasn't God? The Muslims believe he can't be. They find that as blasphemous, but Jesus clearly claimed to be God, and that's where you go to the New Testament. So you go, for example, to Mark or Matthew, where Jesus is quoting from Daniel 7:13. You and I have talked about that before, right? So from Matthew 24 and then the parallel passage in Mark, Jesus claims to be the one by the I am on the throne, the Ancient of Days. And so Jesus claims to be God in John 8:24 and 8:58, and John chapter 10, verses 30 through 40, and John 20:21, and over and over and over again, Jesus, it's a claim of him or by him directly that he is God, he is divine. So the problem really is the Muslim, this is called confirmation bias, they don't want to believe that. And now, you could say, well, you assume it's true, and I don't. No, that's not the issue. The issue is I can prove to you from the Bible where Jesus claimed to be God. So what do? They have to say the Bible was tampered with. But the problem is the Quran, as I pointed out to you before, speaks very well of the scriptures, and it tells the Muslim to be careful about speaking disrespectfully of it. So this, they think they've got a slam dunk argument, but he's really whistling Dixie out in the woods. And I'm trying to be mean. It's just he's got the language is confused. The points don't prove what he thinks they prove. He's already has a prior commitment. Jesus can't be God because that's blasphemous to him, because God has no son, because, you know, they deny the incarnation. And they think Christians are confused when the reality is they don't know they're confused. He's confused.
Right.
Well,
that helps.
Well, I'm not confused about the fact that, Joy, you always have some great questions, so really appreciate your phone call.
No. All right. Appreciate your answers. God bless you guys.
God bless
you
as well.
Thank you so much.
So I would encourage you with him. I'd go, so what's the point?
Yeah.
I mean, they can tell you what he thinks this proves and go, how does this follow? I was just thinking about some stuff today again because I'm doing a section for another class on logic for my law students, and many people are confused. They confuse quickly what must follow, what doesn't follow, and what may follow. And they really, so if I say all triangles have three sides, this geometric figure is a triangle, therefore it has three sides. That must be true. And Latin would be quaderat demonstratum, that which was to be demonstrated. That has to be true. That's called a valid deductive argument. On the other,
but I hope she got all that, Craig, and she'll be able to listen in as well.
Well, she can listen. Let me finish the
thought. Yeah, go right ahead.
And for those who are listening, and then there is what doesn't follow. If I say all triangles have three sides, premise one, and I'm just making these really simple and stupid, some people can grasp them and remember them. Of course, things are much more complicated than this. But if I say all triangles have three sides, first premise. Second premise, this geometric figure has four sides. Therefore, this geometric figure is a triangle. Well, that's obviously not true. And that's a non sequitur. It doesn't follow, right? But there's times where there's arguments that may or may not follow. And this is where people really get messed up, because they assume, this argument proves this necessarily, and sometimes it literally doesn't. Let me just give an example. So a guy's seen running from a crime scene where there's some arson has been committed, right? And then you find out, lo and behold, this guy actually has been convicted of arson before. And so you say, see, this proves that he did it, and he was running away from a crime scene. But it doesn't necessarily prove it without further evidence. It could simply be that he thought, fire, I will get blamed for this, and so he's running, and it's not that he did it. So it may be that he did it, and maybe that he didn't do it, but you have to have further evidence, so it may or may not be true. And people really mess this stuff up all the time, and it's really important to know what does follow, what must follow, what does not, cannot follow logically, and what may or may not follow. And this is an example of people abusing these categories of argumentation.
You know, when you were saying that, Craig, I was flashing back, and for those of you that don't know what I'm about to say, as far as a cassette tape, you might want to ask your mom and dad if they're old enough to remember what a cassette tape, not an A-track, but a cassette tape, because on the cassette tape there, I think I still have it. I'm going to go home and look for it, where you had the 10-part series in the class on the laws of logic. And I never forget listening to all those tapes, man. It was quite enjoyable to be able to get my cassette tape degree, which I'm going to ask you to give me a certificate for listening to it so many times. And it just reminded me of what you were saying, man. It's like, it's just, we use logic every day, but we don't think about how logic applies in our everyday life. And just the thing you just mentioned is just a simple example of many that you've given in the class. So you need to make that class available some kind of way, Craig, other than me trying to get those cassette tapes and turn them into, digitize them and all that stuff. But anyway, that's another thought.
Well, by the way, actually, I did do a sequel of that on his channel years ago.
Oh, cool.
And that's being remastered and will actually be available in the not-too-distant future.
You mean on your channel? You have a channel? Now, I didn't know about that. Tell me about this. What is it called?
Not my channel.
Oh, is that his channel? Well, tell the people about it, man, so they can know more about it right quick.
Well, indeed. Wednesday, his channel, Internet Christian TV, hischannel.com, and I have the privilege of hosting today's Bible question a program, Today's Bible Questions. We do Q&A like this, only people text in their questions, 24/7, 365 to the number that we give them, and then I attempt to answer them, and that's Wednesdays from 1 to 2 on his channel, .com. Yes.
So if I understood you correctly, we didn't say a cassette tape, and you said text, so we're not faxing any more numbers now, right? We're not faxing questions in to this number, but if I give them a number, they can text
somebody
the number?
Texted me somebody faxed me a text saying that I was wrong. So.
Here's the number, folks. If you want to send a professor a question during the week on his channel, and then Craig, you know, we got to figure out how we can make that available to them. And if they go to his channel or whatever about this logical series, man, that'd be great for everyone just to get for themselves. I don't know if there's a cost associated, it should be, but if there's not, whatever, we could deal with that. But the number you want to call to be able to text a question, and you could do that right after the show is concerned, all during the week before Wednesday, is 714-815-7097. Again, it's his channel, not Craig's channel, because he don't have one. It's his channel, 714-815-7097.
Yes, and thanks, Daryl. And Daryl, so that will air again on his channel. Years ago, it aired on his channel, but the plans are we will load it up on the website, the College of Theology.
Oh, cool.
And people will be able to watch it for free.
Oh, that'd be great, man. We got, you know what? That's why I'm loving this social media stuff as I learn more and more about it, how each and every person that's on the sound of our voice, each and every person that even have a computer has access to be able to communicate the gospel message or whatever God puts on their heart all over the world. We're just asking you that if you are not a teacher, but you want to just give your testimony of what the Lord has done to you, what greater way to share the gospel through your personal identification with the Lord Jesus Christ? And you have every opportunity to do that. So, folks, if you want to think about some things to do, there's one thing you can do without having to be a master teacher or anything like that, to share the gospel through the lens of personal testimony. What a concept. PCH, we only have about 10 minutes left, 15 minutes left, no, about 10 minutes left. So let me go to right quick Dave in the city of Pasadena. Dave, thanks for holding on and calling in. Hello, Dave? Dave, can you hear me? Okay, I'm going to put Dave on hold, and maybe Eric can see if Dave can hear me. This Eric, see if Dave is on the line there. But I'll give his question, Craig. His question is, what is the biblical view on begging and beggars? Well, I beg you to answer that question, sir.
I beg to differ.
Well, don't differ. Just answer the question.
it just depends on that. I mean, some people do that as opposed to do a regular job or what have you, and sometimes there's some dishonesty there. And that's certainly not right. But Christians, the Bible doesn't really tell you can or can't beg. It just tells us to show kindness to people who are begging, to remember those who, particularly those who, through no fault of their own, find themselves in financial hardship. And so, Daryl, I know, look, I'm fully aware that there are people on, you know, freeway exits, on generally off ramps, you know, or what have you, who are hustling. There's people who make good money. You know, they've documented this in the past. People done studies and whatnot. Not everybody, I'm saying, but some. But some are a hardship. Now, sometimes it's due to drugs and alcohol abuse, and you're almost really just feeding their addiction. But some people are just really down and out. And I believe no matter what reason the person's doing it for, I try to show compassion. And I use judgment. I don't give funds to every person who's begging. But especially, I'm going to be back in Asia, Southeast Asia. I'm going to see them everywhere. It'll be constant. Mm-hmm. And so I have to make a decision of who I might give money to or not. But I believe God calls us to show compassion. And there's much in the Bible, even in the book of Proverbs, about showing kindness to the poor, to the needy, to not despising them, to not showing contempt or pride towards them. I think, again, the biblical view is I can't recall any passage that says you can't you can or you can't. It just assumes it's a reality that people do, and that we ought to. It doesn't necessarily say we have to give to every beggar. I think, because again, I think if people are hustling, some people, again, they're just going to go buy drugs, and I know that. But there's other ones, and I do this. You could say I'm naive when I do give funds. I will say, in the name of Jesus, because I want God to get the credit. And I'm not just doing it because I'm a nice guy, because I'm a Christian, and it's because of Christ in the name of Jesus. And please only use this for food or for lodging. And now, do I think, therefore, when I say that and they say yes, they're only going to do that? Of course not. Mm-hmm. But I feel that's as much as I can do in the time that I have, because often it's literally I'm at an exit, and I don't have a lot of time to have a big chat with them. You know, but I think we should need to show kindness with discretion.
You know,
I would argue that's the biblical model.
And the discretion part is a difficult part, because it's almost like it'd be nice if God was to whisper in our ear our quick prayer and God would answer those prayers. This one, Lord, no. This one, yes. You know, that'd be great. But I think the Lord wants us to struggle with some things in regards to using our own noggin, knowing the situation that we may be in. I have a sort of a common thing that I try to do. I either have water and some fruit. One or the other in the car with me at all times. And if I don't, I usually say, hey, listen, if you're hungry, meet me over there at that restaurant there or that McDonald's or something like that, and I'll buy you something that's healthy for you. And then a couple of times I've done it, but many a times, almost to the T, it happens where people say, oh, no, that's all right. Then, you know, you just go on. I'll get something later. I don't want to trouble you. I said, no trouble. Then they don't go, because then that way you kind of know what it's about. Mm-hmm. And because I'm retired and not in the situation of a lot of people, I do have that time, because I do want to have an opportunity maybe to talk to people. And again, it can be dangerous, but you know, you have to use the discernment the Lord gave you, know the situation that you're in. And, you know, I'm not a small individual, Craig, and it doesn't mean that the size means everything, but I also have, I have a concealed weapon permit as well. So I'm not doing this stuff off the top of my dome just to be a nice guy either. I really want to help people out, but I also have the ability to kind of protect myself if need be. So there you have it. It's just a thought about that. And then I'm also very, very serious about, you know, this whole ministry. My whole golf ministry is going to be designed to help the homeless in a real sense, to those that are in a position to want to get off of their homelessness and actually get a job. We have a whole system involved with that that's going to, I think, it can help the community out a lot. When people, if they want to work, they should eat. But, you know, you should want to work if you're able-bodied. And that's one of the criteria as well.
Yes, Darrell.
So Dave's on the line now, but Dave, I hope you can just be able to listen to our answer on the archive show, the Facebook page. If you don't have Facebook, then I apologize about that, but maybe we can get you some kind of recording of it. Eric, you could talk to Dave about that. Could we just answer this question about begging? Unless you want, Craig, you know what? We have a few seconds. Let me bring Dave up to see if there was anything else real quickly to what he was maybe specifically asking that question about. Hey, Dave, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, sir.
Okay, Dave, we answered your question already, because I was asking for you, to come on.
I was going to get some water. I came back and I was off.
Hey, we don't mess around. You can't take, listen, only one take breaks and get credit is Craig. You don't get to take a break as a listener. I'm just playing, David. I'm just playing.
Yeah, okay.
So, David, we answered your question, and it's going to be on our Facebook page. Do you have access to internet?
My laptop is now missing a PIN number. If I get my PIN number, I'm going to use it again.
Okay, good. And then you'll be able to go on our Facebook page and hear this answer time now, okay?
Will.
All right,
okay.
God bless you, man. Thanks for calling in.
You.
Excellent question. Now, see how nice I was as a host. Now, if that was somebody else I know, Craig, they would have been as gracious as I am. But that's because I'm from Mama. That's because I'm from Mama Grace. Listen, Ozzy, I think we only have about six or so minutes left, and all the questions I have have been asked, Craig. I'm gonna actually do this. I want you, Craig, in particular, to if you're so inclined, to give not only an update about what you got going on, but what specifically can our listening audience pray for you, your family, and anything else, because I want to emphasize the praying aspect of our this ministry to us as individuals, so that God can continue to bless us with strength and ability to continue doing this type of broadcast.
Well, thanks, Daryl. Yes, I'll be leaving in about a week and a half. So I should be on the broadcast next week, and then I'll be gone for 2 weeks. Cambodia and perhaps some other countries. I say perhaps because some things change and are in flux, but definitely going to Cambodia. And dealing with human trafficking and trafficking of little boys and little girls, and dealing with Christian ministries and helping to equip them and encourage them, and also showing the future law, well, not future law students, future attorneys, how they can help and make a difference. That is, committed Christians who also have legal skills, how they can make a difference. We work with a lot of, in particular, ministries. They go by NGOs, non-government organizations, because of the dynamics of trying to work with some of these countries. And at any rate, that's a long story. But the point is, so it's just really important, the stuff we do over there and the exposure that our students have and the help we try to give to these ministries that are doing a phenomenal job and really teaching, again, future attorneys how they can help and make a difference with their skill set of the law. And then I'll come back a couple weeks and then leaving again, going to India and Nepal. And that is primarily the training of trainers, where we train pastors, Christian leaders, and missionaries. Some of them have never gone to seminary, didn't get a chance. Some of them have, some haven't. Some of them come from a Buddhist background but don't know Hinduism, or from Hinduism but don't know Buddhism. So we help them better understand that, how to witness, how to share, equip them with sound theology, and literally go there, and frankly, we leave funds with a number of them. Same thing, it's discretion, Daryl. We, ones we believe in and yes, are committed, we financially buy them Bibles and other materials and supplies, and or just simply give them a donation so they can continue to do what they're doing, because a number of them are going literally to unreached people groups, people who've never heard the gospel, many of them hardly ever. But many of them, there's some of these groups that literally never heard it, Daryl. And so, again, so we're training these pastors. We pay their travel, pastors, Christian leaders, missionaries. We pay their travel expenses, their food and lodging. And, of course, we don't charge them for the training to further equip them. I mean, to me, this is one of the most efficient models of ministry, yes, of missions overseas. Why would I go somewhere and it take me 5-10 years to be decent to language, and I'm never going to be accepted in some areas because I'm Caucasian? It's just not going to happen. You know, these guys, most, I don't know any of them who don't speak at least 4 to 5 languages, and some speak 10 to 12. And, you know, have already accounted the cost. Many of them have been persecuted, some put in jail. Some of them, they attempted to kill them, literally. I mean, so, I mean, these guys are committed, they're intelligent, they're fired up with the gospel and just love God. I mean, this is some of the most exciting ministry I've ever been involved in, of all the things I've been able to do over the years. And people, again, can stand with us prayerfully and financially, but they can pray, yeah, for God to give us an open door. Some of these countries, yes, we have to worry about getting kicked out. We have to be very careful. Some of them, the areas, they follow me around and they watch what I do. And at any rate, if we had more time, I'd go into that in detail, but so we need protection while we're over there, favor with the authorities, and we don't get in trouble with the authorities. For our families, while we're gone, that nothing happened to them, that they're safe while we're gone, that we stay healthy, because you get sick, that really can, you know, put a damper on your schedule. And just effective, powerful ministry. And that we're wise with the funds the Lord's given us, because we're going to be giving a number of those funds to people to further equip them to do what they're doing. And we just always want to pray and ask for wisdom in doing that.
You know, Craig, I would just simply say this in the 45 seconds we have left is, and part of your request was to open doors, and my prayer is always, and I'm going to ask people to pray for Craig in that area that he articulated, but in the ministries that I'm involved with and going to be more involved with, as far as my, I'm going to call it more than a golf ministry, it's actually in the sporting world, the sports ministry, that God seemed to be opening up doors for. I'm only going to ask that people would pray to the Lord that he would open the doors that he want open and close, shut the doors he want closed, because a lot of times, because because of the things that we do on our own, we can do some connections that may be good for you, may not necessarily be good for you. But I'm asking God for discernment, wisdom, and for the people to pray that he opens the doors he won't open and close the doors he won't close. Because I'm going to accept it either way, because I appreciate the life that God has given us to be able to do this type of ministry, Craig, without being paid for, without needing to be paid for it, so that the people can develop sort of a trust in ministry. So on behalf of everyone on the team, Ozzie, thank you very much. Eric, PCH, love you, man. And again, I'm simply Mama Grace and Big Daddy Baby Boy saying, the Lord willing, we'll be back next week with more Bible Information Brokers presented by Living by the Word Ministries. God bless.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.